Greetings to each one of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. We have a lot to take home already here this morning. Thank you, young men, young brothers here who have shared the Word of God. It was a great blessing to my heart as they were sharing and the investment that they have invested these last number of months here, and I trust that it will make an eternal difference in your heart as well as those who hear thee. So I just thank the Lord for that and count it a privilege to be sitting here with you together this morning. I want to welcome all the visitors. Pray that you will also be blessed here together with us this morning as we continue to serve the Lord, as we continue to look to Him for our lives. I noticed a verse there in James chapter 2 that just it spoke to me. James chapter 2 verse 13. Says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. It triumphs over judgment. And so I just want to thank the Lord for his mercy in our lives here together this morning and allowing us to come together with the purpose, the sole purpose of serving Him with all of our hearts here together. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5. The message today is taken out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, where Jesus said one day, he shared with, you know, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, and he shared with his disciples and many people this truth that I assume it caused their knees to buckle just a little bit. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. So this morning, as we consider the words of Jesus, I don't know what all went through the disciples' minds and the people that were hearing his sermon that day. And I don't know what's going on in your heart this morning as you heard what our young brothers have shared from the book of James. What a blessing. What a profound truth from the book of James. It's interesting that Martin Luther would have considered the book of James in his writings an epistle of straw. But this morning I believe it's meat. It's the meat of the Word of God. And so may we always view it that way. So this morning, as we look at this passage here, so the title of my message is "Turn to Him the Other Also." So you could say it's a message of non-resistance, or another phrase that has been used that I like is radical love. As we think of non-resistance, I know in my growing up years, I always thought non-resistance was, oh, we don't go to war. And that is definitely a part of it. But it's not the biggest part, I don't believe, this morning. I believe it touches my heart and my life in many areas, and I believe it should yours as well. What Jesus was teaching here about not resisting evil. I wanted to some soon here. There's a story that I found here in the Martyr's Mirror that just kind of illustrates my point here on verse 39 about turning the other cheek. And I just wanted to mention here at the beginning that some of you have the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and this is the Martyr's Mirror that I have up here this morning. And I just want to be clear at the beginning that this is not the book right here. This is not the book that we're looking to. But it's because brothers in Christ have read this book is why this book became to be. So long as we have that clear in our mind. So we're not standing up here holding up this book, but the Bible. And when we read the Bible and live it, you know, we heard this morning already, we don't say great things, we live them. And so the Fox's Book of Martyrs is, it does not include many of the Anabaptist martyrs. But the Martyr's Mirror would include many of them. And Tertullian said in 197 A.D., he said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And we've been hearing a lot about that this morning through the book of James. So it goes well with what God has laid upon my heart. So this morning as we consider that, you know, what is non-resistance? It's the practice or principle of not resisting evil, even when it's unjustly exercised this morning. So I want to also say first off that Jesus Christ, you know, we want him to have the preeminence here this morning. We want him to be first in my life, in your life here together this morning. And as I was thinking of next week, Lord willing, we have some messages that we're going to have as a church here starting Wednesday. And it's kind of a vision for the church here. But I just want to say that I believe this message is that God laid upon my heart is foundational and for the rest of the messages. Because it's, you know, Jesus Christ is he's the foundation that we look to. Colossians 1, verse 15 says, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. So he is the head of this church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So we want to look to Jesus Christ this morning as the preeminent one. And he's the one that gets, he should receive the praise and the honor and the glory and the power from our lives that we can just look to him and say hallelujah. For he is worthy. And so I thought we could just pray before I go further. If you all want to rise from your seats and I will pray. Lord, as we quiet our hearts here before you this morning, and as we consider our topic here this morning on non-resistance, we feel needy and we feel weak and we see our frame that we are but dust. And it is only as you breathe your breath in us and give us strength to do what you would have us do that we're able, Lord. And so we thank you for that this morning. I pray that Christ could be the preeminent one here in this place, in these few words that I have to share this morning, and that he could be glorified and exalted here together today. And so we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the power that comes and enables us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be able to just live above sin, to live in victory over sin, and to give us new hearts and lives each day of the week. And so I just pray that you would bless each one who's here this morning, and that you would bind every spirit that's not of you, Lord, that we could have just freedom here this morning, that your spirit would have free course, and that it could go up and down the pews and minister severally as it will to my heart and all hearts that are here together in this place. And so we thank you for this time together, and we're going to trust you, Lord, to edit and guide as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for that moment of silence. I was thinking of, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a few verses there that, verse 10 to 13, that I wanted to read. And I'm just kind of giving a foundation here. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon, or another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. I once read in that Mental Simons, this was his favorite verse. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid already. It's Jesus Christ, and I trust that's our hearts here this morning. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For they shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And that fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. And that's for all of us here together this morning. We're all building, and we're all building on, I trust, the foundation of Jesus Christ. But our work is going to be tried. So may the Lord help us as we build, that we could do it with simplicity. So I was going to put this on the board here this morning. Non-resistance. You know, what is non-resistance? Or a radical love? It's love that is true. It's love that's more than just a feeling. Sometimes we are confused by what is feeling and what is true. And so may the Lord help us to divide that here this morning. So if you want to turn back over to Matthew chapter 5, we will continue there. I wanted to give the meaning of the word evil in verse 39. The word evil there, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. That the King or the Strong's Concordance tells us that that word means bad. The negative moral quality of a person or action opposed to God and His goodness. It's a wicked deed or a lewd or a malicious act. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus is just going back to the law. He's saying, you know, up until this point, you have heard that if someone, you know, busts your tooth out, you have the right to take his out. Or if someone takes your eye out, you can take his eye out. So there was, you could say, fair game. It was fairness there. But Jesus said, I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And that word smite there, the King James uses the word smite, and the Strong's uses the Greek wording means to slap or to, you know, there's injury. Basically, a injurious slap on the side of the face. You know, a surprise smite on the side of the face is very, can be very jolting experience. Some years ago, I had a surprise. It wasn't quite a slap, but it was something similar. I was out doing some fencing, and I knew I had a shocking wire on my top of my fence, and I was up leaning over the fence to try to do something. I don't remember exactly what, and as I leaned down, I got real close to this charged wire, and as I leaned down, I thought, well, I know how far it is. And lo and behold, when I got just, you know, I just went a little over center and it zapped me right here in my cheek. And I just remember the utter shock and the immediate reaction within myself of, you know, coming up for air, so to speak. And but there was no one around. You know, there's no one that I could turn my vengeance on. You know, that was early on in my experience, But so I would consider a slap in the face something like that. It's a great surprise, and it will bring out what's inside. It'll bring out what's in there. If it's Jesus, it'll bring out Jesus. If it's self, it'll come out. When you jostle that bucket, it'll swap out. So that was a jolting experience for me. But if any man will sue thee at the law, verse 40, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even publicans the same? You know, that is very easy, to love those who love us. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So Jesus was sharing this word with the crowd that day, and I just kind of sense that, in my spirit at least, I'm imagining maybe a bit, but I just sense that there was a hush that happened over the crowd. Because up until that point, it was always, you know, if someone hits you, hit them back. That was just. But Jesus said, don't resist it. And actually, turn the other cheek. You know that last verse there, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I believe if we can live out the aforementioned verses, it will work a perfection in us. It will perfect us if we can live that out. You know, the difference, you know, often people get confused about someone that's non-resistant. and someone that's a pacifist. So I'd like to look at that just for a minute here. The difference between a pacifist and a non-resistant Christian is worlds apart, even though neither of the two would go to war and bear arms. But a pacifist, he doesn't see the two kingdom principle. It's just, you could say, live and let live, and no regard or desire for truth. Truth is not a factor, but it's about how I feel and what I think should happen in the world. And I want world peace. Has no, very little regard for truth. But a true Christian, a true kingdom Christian, a non-resistant Christian stands for truth even if it costs him his life. He also believes the government is ordained by God. That's the difference between the two, one another difference. According to Romans 13, non-resistance is the greatest peacemaking power on earth in a world of violence. Unapologetic, non-resistance is still the best way and the Bible way. The violence that's happening in our day is escalating. Thursday, I went to the to my chiropractor for a little visit there, and as I was pulling in, I noticed that I had never seen this before, but the chiropractor was out on the front deck visiting with someone, and I was like, I wonder what happened or what's going on. And so as I pulled in, I pulled up beside this car that was parked there, and I see he was talking to a lady that seemed very distraught. She was yelling, and she was pointing, and I seen a car beside me. There was a man in the passenger side, and as he was, he had the window down on the driver's side, and he was waving his arms, and the two of them were yelling at each other from 50 or 60 foot away, trying to settle some dispute or whatever it was. So I just waited a moment, then I got out, and as I got out, right by the window in the back seat was a little girl. She was probably 4 years old, and she was sitting close to the window, and she was looking up at me, and her eyes were wide with fear, and she wondered what's going to happen. And so after the chiropractor tried to reason with the two of them, the violence just got higher and worse. And so she said, call the police. I need some help. Well, the police came out, and I'm not sure what happened. I went on in, but they were there for maybe 10 minutes, and they left. And as I made my way out, while they were both still there in the car, they had the back door open, and there was two other babies in there beside the four-year-old girl. There was two younger ones. And my heart just bled for that little girl, you know, and the little children hearing that violence. So we live in a world of violence where we're, you know, not resisting each other and evil is unheard of. So I praise God that we, you know, we have a higher goal here this morning. But also, you know, in light of the pacifist and a non-resistant Christian, I just want to exhort us here this year. I know this is an election year, and I just want to exhort us to not get caught up in the politics of this year. You know, that the heat is on. The heat is on, and, you know, we all know, I trust we know, that Trump is not the Messiah. He's not going to save America. And yet he would lead many to believe that he, along with many others, you know, there's history books that would teach us what happened in World War II with Hitler and Stalin and even the Mennonite people as a whole. And so may we be reminded of that truth this morning and not get caught up with that. So I would like to read this story here at this time. This is a little story here about three men who were being persecuted for their faith in Christ. There was three men, and their names are rather hard to pronounce, so I'm going to use the phrase three men for some of this here. But it says, these three men were dreadfully tormented and then thrown before the wild beast and finally thrust through for the faith of the Son of God. And this happened in 290 A.D., near Tarsus in Cilicia, the birthplace of the Apostle Paul. And so Tarsus again replied, "I am a Christian." Maximum said to his beetles, "Break the jaws and tell him not to answer me thus anymore." Tarsus responded, "I have told thee my best name." He was asking him earlier, you know, what his name is, and he said, "I'm a Christian." Then he got him to say his name. "I have told thee my best name, but if thou desirest to know more, my parents called me, my name is Tarsus, and when I followed war, I was called Victor." So this was an ex-military man that had came to Christ. And his name was, they called him Victor. He must have been a powerful man in war. The president asked him, "Of what nation art thou, Tarsus?" And he answered, "Of the noble nation of the Romans, and was born at Colopius, a city in Syria. But being a Christian, I have abandoned war." And one thing I learned this morning as I was reading this that I didn't know, and that is that much of this martyr's mirror was purchase from the courts. You know how today, if you go to court, there's a clerk that writes down every word that is spoken and every sound that is uttered, whether it's an or a whatever. But my understanding is that the reason these accounts are so graphic and clear is because Christians later would go and they would purchase and buy these transcripts from the courts on leaves of whatever they had in those days and take them in and save them as a testimony to future generations. And today, it is by the grace and power of God that we have these accounts today that we can learn from and hear from and know what happened. So that's how these are so detailed, because they obviously wouldn't let those who were just standing by to take a lot of notes. So the proconsul said, "Thou art not worthy of the pay, but how didst thou leave the service?" And Tarsus replied, "I asked publicans and general for permission, and he discharged me." The president said, "Have regard for thy age then, for I desire thee too to be one of those who obey the commands of our lords and emperors, so that thou mayest be promoted to me to great honors. Come hither, therefore, and sacrifice to our gods, and for princes themselves, who are the monarchs of the whole world, honor the gods." And then Tarsus answered, he said, "Thou err grossly. However, they are seduced by Satan." And the president said, "Smite him on the cheek, because he has said that emperors do err." Tarsus replied, "Yes, I have said it and say it still. And they are as men and are liable to err." And the president said again, "Sacrifice to our gods and forsake thy folly." And Tarsus answered him, "I serve my God and sacrifice to him, not with blood, but with a pure heart. For the sacrifices, namely such as are stained with blood, are unnecessary." And then the president said, "I have pity for thy age. Therefore I admonish thee to forsake this folly and sacrifice to the gods." And Tarsus replied, "I will not depart from the law of the Lord, because I honor the law of God. I shall beware of such wickedness." And then the president said, "Is there another law besides this, thou wicked wretch?" Tarsus answered, "Your law commands to worship wood, stone, and a work of man." And then Tarsus was put to the rack. The proconsul or the president said to his hangman, "Smite him on the neck and tell him not to speak such folly." And while they were beating Tarsus, he said, "I shall by no means abandon this confession which saves me." And the proconsul said, I shall make thee forsake this folly and be more prudent. And Antiochus said, do what you will. Thou hast full power over my body. And then Maximus, the proconsul, said to his servant, strip him, scourge him with rods. Antiochus answered as he was scourged, truly, thou hast made me more prudent, since by these stripes thou strengthenest me more and more in my confidence in God and his anointed, Jesus Christ, who is his son. And then I'll go jump on down here. Antiochus answered, depart from me, thou servant of Satan, with any advice. Marcomus commanded them to put heavy iron chains on him and take him back to prison and to bring forth another. So the next one was Probus, and they asked him, you know, who he was. But anyway, they go on here, and Probus answered, I desire neither honor from the emperors nor thy friendship, for not small was the wealth. Brother Arlen was talking about wealth. Not small was the wealth which I forsook in order to faithfully serve the living God. The proconsul commanded him to take his cloak off him, strip him, rack him, scourge him with raw thongs. While they scourged him, Demetrius, the captain, said, O wretched man, behold how thy blood is spilled upon the earth. And Probus replied, my body is in your hands, but all these torments are precious balm to me. And after he was scourged, the proconsul said to him, thou wretch, wilt thou yet not cease from thy folly, and dost thou still persist in thy obstinacy? And Probus answered, I am not vain, but more courageous in the Lord than you people are. The president said to his servants, turn him over and scourge him on his stomach. Probus prayed, saying, O Lord, come and succor thy servant. The proconsul said to the executioners, while you scourge him, ask him, saying, where is your helper? And Probus replied as they scourged him, he has helped me, and he shall still be with me. And then they said, thou wretched man, do spare thine own body, for the earth is soaked with thy blood. Probus answered, be assured, the more my body suffers for the name of Christ, this is how they viewed it, the more my soul is healed and quickened. And I'll jump down here. There's another brother named, I'm just going to call him Andrew. Andrew answered, my body is before thee. Hast thou full power over it, and do as you please. And the proconsul said, torture him exceedingly on the mouth. And Andrew replied, the Lord sees that you punish me even as a murderer. And then he asked him, do you still despise the commands of the princes and think thou the tribunal is without power? Basically, he's saying, don't you think we have power to do what we want with you? Then he said, I trust in the mercy and truth of God's promise, and therefore I suffer all this patiently. And then he said, yes, accordingly as I understand it, they have, for it is a transgression to sacrifice to idols. And then while being tormented, the proconsul said, turn him over and torment him on his sides. Andrew said, I am before you, torment me as you please. The president said to the executioners, take potsherds, basically little pieces of pottery that were broken, and scrape off those old open wounds, those old healed up wounds. And when they had done this, Andy said, you have strengthened my body by these torments. And then Maximum said, ere long I shall exterminate thee. Ere long I shall kill thee. And Andrew answered, I do not fear thy threats. My sentiments are better than all the wicked thoughts. And the proconsul commanded that iron should be put on his neck and feet, and that he should be kept with the others until the second examination. Just a little bit more here that I wanted to share. Antiochus is back on the. They would take him back in and put him in stocks and then bring him back out repeatedly and repeatedly do this beatings. So they brought Tharcus back out, the first brother, and he said, the proconsul said, strike him on the mouth with stones and say to him, detest from thy folly. Tharcus answered, if I did not exercise more care for my salvation than you people, I would be as foolish as you are. Then the president said to him, see that they have knocked thy teeth out. Do have compassion on thyself. And Tharcus replied, do not imagine this, for though thou shouldest cause every one of my members to be crushed, I still remain strong and steadfast in him who strengthens me. The president said, believe me, it is better for thee that thou give up or sacrifice. And Tharcus answered, if I knew that it were better for me, I would not wait for this advice from thee. And then the proconsul said again to his hangman, smite him on the mouth and make him speak. And Tharcus replied, my cheeks are knocked to pieces. How can I answer any longer? Maximus said, and wilt thou, madmen, not yet consent to worship of basically sacrifice to the gods? And then he said, as thou hast deprived me of my voice, so I cannot cry aloud, thou shalt nevertheless not injure my soul, but thou hast in this hour greatly strengthened me in my opinion. Then the next phase here, he says, he told his servants, bring fire, stretch out his hands and put fire on them, put fire on his hands. But I would have to fear eternal fire if I would obey thee, he said again. And when the glowing fire was laid upon his hands, the president said, see, the fire is consuming thy hands. Detest, therefore, thy folly and thy sacrifice to gods. And he answered, thou speakest to me as though because of thy cruelty I had already yielded to thy wish. However, but through the grace of God I am in all my sufferings as strong as ever. And the proconsul said, tie his feet together, hang him up by his heels, and make a thick smoke under his face. I neither regard thy fire nor do I fear thy smoke, he replied. When he was hung up, Maximus said to him, thou shalt hang there until thou consentest to sacrifice to the idols. And Tharcus answered, thou mayest sacrifice, for thou art accustomed to sacrificing human beings, but for me it is not lawful. Then they said, bring vinegar mixed with salt and pour it into his nostrils. Here a whole leaf. Now, there's a note here that for some reason at this point, the clerk, the notes are missing. There's a whole page, he said, is missing from the original court document. We don't know what happened there. But here a whole leaf is wanting in the original, namely of the tortures of Tharcus, Probus, and Andrew, suffered in the second examination on the rack. However, concerning Andrew, the following additional was found. So I'll just kind of leave off there. There's just one or two more areas here that I want to just touch on. Then as they brought him, this was second, third, fourth time they would bring him out to torment them. This Tharcus said to the executioners, or the president said to the executioner, put branding irons into the fire and brand him on the cheeks or the shoulders. And Tharcus answered, thou shalt inflict many torments more than these upon me. Thou shalt nevertheless not turn the servant of God to the shameful idolatry of devils to worship them. Then the president said, bring a razor, cut off his skin, shave his head bald, and put burning coals upon it. And Tharcus replied, although you can cause my whole body to be flayed. They basically flayed his whole upper head. They razored off the skin. I shall not depart from my God who strengthens me to endure all the weapons of your torturing. Then the president said once more, get the branding irons and let them get still hotter and apply them to all the members and joints. And then Tharcus, he cried out, may the Lord look down from heaven and judge. What Lord dost thou call upon? And so Tarkus replied here at the end, I have said and say so still, do what you want. Thou hast full power over my body in this world. And then the president said, put him back in prison until next time. And they brought out another one. But then the next time they brought him out here, this Probus, they told him, the president said, thou hast been tormented on thy whole body, except your eyes. The only thing that was left that was not destroyed was his eyes. Darest thou speak to me thus and pinch his eyes out, he said to the executioners, that he may gradually become blind. When this had been done, Probus, behold, thou also deprive me of my bodily eyes. Thou shalt never be permitted to destroy the eyes of my faith. He yet kept being helped by God to just stay strong. And he answered and he said, for thus I gradually approach the end so that I may finish my good and perfect confession and be put to death by you without mercy. And then the president said, take him away, bind him in prison, and let none of the companions come near him to praise him for having continued so steadfastly. He too shall be cast before the wild beast at the next show. So that is a story of these three men. That was just portions of it. I know it was kind of lengthy there. But I just thought it gave me, this morning as I read that early this morning, it just caused me to weep. It just caused me to weep to think of many, what they have endured for the cross of Christ and for the sake of the gospel's sake. So may that help us today just to understand that non-resistance is a way of life and it's an empowerment from Jesus Christ. It's not natural. The scriptural principles of non-resistance are what shape our life as followers of Christ. We don't petition, protest, picket, or try to force our agenda or force government offices to do what we want them to do. We can cry out to the Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy 2 says, pray for them that are in authority. And that we could lead a quiet and peaceful life. what does this look like in practical ways in my life? I think it starts in the home, in our relationships. We attempt to teach our children not to hit back, to do something nice. And that's hard because it's not natural. Basically, turn the other cheek. It goes against our natural grain. But as believers and as Christians, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to respond in those sorts of ways. We all encounter these kinds of things. I don't know. Just it's noteworthy to note that these men, you don't hear anything about wanting pity or feeling sorry for themselves, but they just, very courageously press forward. Yes, you can kill the body. You can destroy my eyes. You can destroy my voice box in another spot. They took, in the presence of this man that was hanging upside down, one of these brothers, they cut his tongue out. Because he was speaking truth. And they made a little fire pot over here. And they put his tongue in there and they burned it. And then they sprinkled the ashes around on the room. These are the kind of horrific acts. And I know these things are, it could be said, this is kind of scary. But it's real life. It's real Christianity. And I pray that, if ever anyone here is in those type of situations that we could be faithful. That would be my prayer. Me first. Even within the Christian body, sometimes people do things that hurt us. How do we respond? Christ would call us to respond with grace, with love, with blessing, and to give the benefit of doubt instead of responding with evil. This lays at the core of my Christian experience. How I respond. Now, I just want to give a little disclaimer here. I'm not standing up here this morning saying that I have attained and that I know exactly how to respond in every situation, because I often fall very short in those ways. But I'm going to hold the banner high that Jesus Christ called us to hold up. I'm going to aspire to do what he asked me to do. You know, the question is often asked, what are you going to do when that madman comes into your house with a gun? He's going to kill your whole family. Are you going to just sit back and let him do it? Well, first off, that's a hypothetical question. But what about the real questions and situations that we faced every day? Paul writes in Romans 12, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. You know, let's start with the practical. Or how do I respond when someone else gets something that I wanted, be it a position, a material thing? How do I respond? Do I respond with envy, jealousy, or harsh words? Or do I respond by rejoicing with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep? You know, the question could be asked this morning, is non-resistance a salvation issue? You know, I'll let you answer that, but I believe it is. Because did Jesus mean everything he said when he said, resist not evil? Was he just making a suggestion? You know, I doubt that, because that's not the only place where we see this principle. You know, up until at the end of Malachi, where the Bible was divided in the New Testament, it changed, and that's what Jesus was doing here. Is forgiveness a salvation issue? If I don't forgive, is that a salvation issue? I believe it is. If these men would not have forgiven their persecutors and this injurious, malicious acts that were done to them, if they would have endured all that, 1 Corinthians 11 says, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity. So as we think of no revenge or no retaliation, you know, that's a deep work in my heart that God wants to do. That's a very deep work. And it takes prayer, it takes fasting. As I was thinking of that, you know, that came to my mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, in light of suffering evil, you know, Jesus said, resist not evil. Where does it come in where when someone is harming me, do I call the police? Where does that come into play here? Should we do that? 1 Corinthians 6, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world, and the world shall be judged by you? Are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. For brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So here, not only in Matthew chapter 5 is that forbidden, Paul is telling the church at Corinth here. He says, Don't go to law with brother. The church, the saints are called to judge issues that come up. I kind of struggle when people in our Anabaptist circles, I don't know of anyone here that's doing this, but in our Anabaptist circles, I was so quick to call the police. If this turns up or that turns up, call the police. And I'm not against calling the police for things that are necessary, but I believe there's an element that I'd like to teach here this morning, that there's far too much of a, I have my rights, I'm going to call the law. And I believe Paul is teaching us here that that's not right. Yeah, they are, Romans 13 clears up that they are here for, as, you know, ordained of God for those who need it. And but the church is called to a higher calling. We are called to judge those things that come up among us. Just as an exhortation. In Romans chapter 12... Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Do I believe that this morning, that the Lord will repay whatever is necessary and whatever is right? Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, and feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the call of the saint of God, the children of God, is to overcome evil with good, not call the law. And then in Romans 13 there's a verse there that I would like to look at here in a minute. But there's a couple quotes here from some Christian martyrs or writers way back in 250. This is Theonas of Alexandria. It says, do no one any injury at any time. Provoke no one to anger. If an injury is done to you, look to Jesus Christ. And even as you desire him to forgive your transgressions, also forgive theirs. That was written in 300 AD. Religion is to be defended not by putting to death, but by dying. Not by cruelty, but by patient endurance. Not by guilt, but by good faith. For the former belongs to evil, but the latter to the good. For if you wish to defend religion by bloodshed, tortures, and guilt, it will no longer be defended. Rather, it will be polluted and profaned. And therefore, when we suffer such impious things, we do not resist even in word. Rather, we leave vengeance to God. We do not act as those persons who would have it appear that they are defenders of their gods, who rage without restraint against those who do not worship them. Lactantius, and that was in 314 or 313 AD. Pray by name for those who mistreat us. You know, Jesus said one day in John 18, 36, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. You know, the church is a voluntary society. Whosoever will may come. It's never been by constraint. You know, the church was universally non-resistant until 174 AD. Then after that time, there was a gradual decline into, you could say, what we call resistant Christianity. Up until that time, it says, no Christians served in the military or assumed government offices. For the next few hundred years, the church held these who did in great suspicion. Basically, they were saying, they're not saying they're not a Christian, but they read clearly in the Word of God that you can't be part of both kingdoms. Imagine the testimony of the church if they would always have stuck to the true non-resistance. So I want to just bring it to a close here. You know, Jesus said, love your neighbors. You know, who is my neighbor? It's anyone around me. You know, there's many verses in the scripture that say, you know, we're called to be neighbor to all people. There's a quote here from Sim Yoder this morning. It says, you will never see yourself as you are till you see him as he is. I just was blessed by that. So I just want to bring it to a close here. I just want us to know that there is purpose in every difficulty and pain that you and I experience. And I know that's hard to accept sometimes, but if we accept that, we can be blessed. And so may God bless you.